Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Welcome back. Busted Pencils, Tuesday night, fully leaded. Education talk. Awesome guest. Give me one, Dustin Burnett from the Midwest Indigenous Immersion Network, talking. It's fascinating, the idea of Ojibwe language immersion school and just the work that goes into. And we just started scratching the surface of going, like Johnny and I, who are in teacher education, and give me one, you talking about how hard it is to, quote, even find someone who could teach in a full Ojibwe immersion school. And Johnny and I thinking, going, like, where do we even start? And during the break, though, behind the scenes, we were talking and you said, look, man, a four-year program isn't the answer. We got to be looking at the public school system. K-12 education is where we need to start. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that we can't expect all those different attributes to be built up in a four-year teacher program. And we all know as teachers, and we all know in education, we're horrible at our jobs for the first several years, right? It takes so much more than those 4 years to become a quality educator. Some people are lucky and they start off running, you know, but I know for people like me, it was a real struggle at the beginning. And to add those extra components of this highly individualized place-based specialty inside of public education is going to be a really difficult task to undertake for any college or university. So I'm not saying that they shouldn't make the efforts, but what I am saying is that those efforts can be eased by offering quality education around this through the public school systems K-12. And then having an organization like ours in place who's going out to the different tribal schools in the area, to the JOM identified schools who are eligible populations, and going and spending time with these kids and showing them the value and what language and culture can look like as a career and a lifestyle, helping out in these very different communities all over the upper Midwest here. So that's really where we're hoping to start with our programming. That's our next step after immersion, is to really look into what can we do for the public education system. You know, Minnesota established bilingual SEALs, which is a fantastic first step, but they have no standards for Ojibwe language and no curriculum, also no standards for teaching Ojibwe language. Mm. So it's really going to be hard for students to meet a bilingual SEAL status with absolutely zero state expectation of curriculum or standards. So building that up first is what's going to give our students an opportunity coming into college or secondary education, at least to work toward that option of finding themselves in an immersion setting.
Jimmy Wan, this is excellent. I got a question for you, and I'm all in. I think it's super important to be, even as a non-native speaking, like person of Ojibwe, but former Detroit teacher, and so being encouraged to learn the language of the place. Like, but my students will ask, so are you thinking maybe it should be an option for me as like a settler, as a white teacher on the come up, to be learning a language that is really intimately connected to the place I'm teaching?
Heck yeah, it should be an option for anybody. Absolutely.
Right. And so, on the break, you were talking about, like, you might have the option to learn German, you might have the option to learn Mandarin, but like, where is the option to learn in the Midwest, especially to learn Ojibwe, or to wherever you're local to, really an ancient language connected to the place that we are all trying to figure out how we can be together and reconcile some real ugly histories?
Yeah. And, you know, language is a big step, right? So as far as a non-Ojibwe person trying to learn Ojibwe, 100% support, use all the help we can get, might be a real uphill climb for some people unless they really immerse themselves in the lifestyle. So one thing I would definitely suggest to anybody or any institution who wants to work their young teachers up is to help students learn to be learners. You know, it's one thing that a lot of places overlook. You know, they'll teach their students how to be teachers. They'll teach them how to get through their four-year degree, but they forget to teach them how to be independent learners outside of having that instruction, you know? So helping build up our teachers to be comfortable in a new setting beyond one cultural responsiveness course inside of a four-year program, you know, that says, here's how I take correction. Here's how I ask questions safely. Here's where I find the materials I need to find in a new community, right? Helping our teachers be ready to be learners in any place.
The whole idea, just thinking that, Johnny, you're sitting there going, man, wait, learners? We want, it's like, it's the dream. It's like, yeah, that's what we're talking about. But when I think about that, yeah, there's in teacher education, the idea that your best preparation and a lot of, you know, and our students work really hard because they want to do the best and they want to do a great job. But sometimes I think we all do forget, give me one, what you just said, the most important part of being a great teacher is being a great learner. And so being a great learner, putting that out there. So for any listener who's sitting there going, there's no way I'm going to be able to help teachers become, you know, indigenous language and culture teachers. Okay, fine. But can we help them become great learners that then when they're in the situation, they take a trip, they meet Gimme Juan, they're able to say, I get this. I understand. Wait, I want to know more. What's, you said Miigwech. What? Wait, why did you just say Miigwech to me? You know, what does that mean? I don't understand. What, right? Is that what, is the learning, the curiosity, the part where I want to know, when I sat in your classroom and watched the interaction, give me one, between you and your students, again, not knowing any Ojibwe language, but seeing what was happening there, there was an exchange of ideas and learning that was happening in a language, but connecting it to that culture. So Johnny, if we bring this back, and any of our teacher educator friends who are out there listening to the show, listen to what Gimme Juan says, can we at least do our best to make sure teachers, administrators too, let's talk about this, leader, anybody leaving some form of professional educator preparation, you got to be a learner. I love that. That's too simple, Gimme Juan.
It seems like it, but you know what? I remember leaving college and wanting to read and having no idea how to pick a book, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really simple things. We get so ingrained in the idea that we do what we're told in a preparation program like that, that we can tend to forget how to investigate without direction, you know? So that's one thing I always encourage us, and even when I teach adult language, you know, whether it's language table or a formal course, step number one is always learn how to take correction and be happy for it. And step number two is always learn what your resources are and how to use them, right? And that's one big thing that we can help all of our administrators, all of our teachers, exactly that. What are my resources? How do I access them and how do I use them?
Which brings us back to the Midwest Indigenous Immersion Network, because I think, you know, as we're coming up here on the incredible journey with you, Gimme Juan, but going back, the goals, I would imagine that that's one of the top things that the your network, what you're trying to do is really address these issues that we talked about. So number one, two, and three biggest issues, Midwest Indigenous Immersion Network, what are you up to?
Oh man, number one, two, and three. Number one, we don't have enough teachers. It's a constant struggle, like I said, to find people with all of those attributes who want to be in one of these communities. And we, you know, we want to be able to pay them what we're worth, but we're stuck in public education. Number two, materials specifically for linguistic development, right? And not just linguistic development as in the ability to speak, but phonetic and phonemic development as well. We want our kids to be able to be good readers, right? We want them to be able to be highly literate in both languages, even though we're teaching them through one. And number three, if I had to pick one, is just the lack of communication between the different programs. It seems so ridiculous that we're in a field with less than 250 professionals, and we're all working completely in isolation, spending the same amount of time doing the same exact thing, when we could completely free each other up to start thinking about our next steps. What do we do after middle school? How do we recruit? How do we fix this teacher shortage, right? So by eliminating the need to spend time and money and resources on curricular and professional development, hopefully this mean network can take care of that for them.
Well, give me one. If I'm interested and people want to learn more, is there a website yet at this point? Where can they go?
Under development, it's mean-ojibwe.org. That's okay. min-ojibwe.org. It should be up in early October. In the meantime, I can always be reached at speakingojibwemowin@gmail.com.
And I will put that information on the Facebook page for people to get in touch. Gimme Wan, thank you so much. Thank you. Busted pencils, fully leaded, back in a break.